Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
This is Michael B. of the Truth Zone, coming to you live from North Dallas, Texas, on this partly cloudy but blue-skied Tuesday, June 13th, 2017. And I've been chomping at the bit to get into this show. The show is titled From Snowflakes to Trump Flakes, America Needs Head and Shoulders. Apparently, the left isn't suffering from iconic worship and hysteria. It seems that many on the right is doing the same thing. I made one simple post, and it has been a non-stop barrage on Facebook, and I'm loving every minute of it, because negative attention is better than no attention at all. And you people just reveal just how wacky you right-wingers are, like the left wing, right? Two broken wings of the same bird. And it just makes me really happy that I've been an independent and have had no political affiliation for over 20 years. It makes me feel really good. And for those of you listening, you see the picture for today's show. And yep, that is Morpheus of the Matrix. And yes, you people that have gone absolutely bananas and have defriended me, have called me a snowflake, have called me a liberal, have called me a Trump hater. I didn't even knock Donald Trump. This is not a knock on the president. He's doing the best he can given the horrific circumstances of the entire establishment. The man is a lone wolf. I campaigned on Facebook, on Twitter, and yes, in the streets, in parking lots, in shopping malls. When I've worn Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirts, which I've got like five of them, because I was wearing them every day when I went outside. And I got those shirts at Infowars.com from Alex Jones, who one person said, "Oh, Alex Jones is in the alt-right." No, he isn't. He's been falsely classified as an alt-right. Alex Jones is a libertarian. He's a classical libertarian, but he's even more liberal on social issues than I am. I am extremely biblically conservative. All right? So, to call me a snowflake and a liberal and a Trump hater is laughable. Donald Trump is twice the liberal I'll ever be. But I voted for the man. I campaigned for the man heavily. I still support the president. I've got no issue with the man. But I'm not going to worship him like he's a god. I'm just not going to do that. So I think we have a problem. So I want to really start the show with a Bible verse. Psalm 146, verse 3. The new, and I'm going to give you a few versions. New International Version. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. New Living Translation. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. English Standard Version. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. King James Bible. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. Now, the son of man in this verse is not capitalized. It's not talking about the Messiah, because this is Psalms, this is the from the Hebrew scriptures. It's not talking about the Son of Man, all in caps, that we know to be Jesus Christ. It's talking about a son of a man, really. So, don't put your trust in nobles, but I fear that you people are putting all of your eggs in one basket. I feel like you're looking for Donald Trump to save you. So, when someone like myself puts up a harmless post, so many people went bananas. I did a show yesterday, and I talked about the real unemployment number, and I talked about how many Americans are out of work, really out of work. And then I'm on Facebook, and I'm on, it was Facebook I found it. I don't know if it was trending or if someone else put a post up, but apparently Ivanka Trump was on Fox and Friends. I don't watch Fox anymore. I haven't in more than a year. I don't watch any mainstream media anymore. After the Republican debates and all that happened with Donald Trump, see, I'm pro Donald Trump, see? And all of that mess and the election, that finished it for me. I've been using independent media for years anyway, but I would look at Fox from time to time. But after the debates and after the election, that finished it for me. I don't even need to look at them to see what the mainstream media is talking about. I get enough of that anyway. Through the internet and through independent media exposing them for what they are. Now, they're not exactly fake. What they are is that they are politically influenced to skew what's going on in America because they have to answer to who pays them. Given the fact that over 90% of the mainstream media is owned by 6% of the corporations out there, we can deduce that the mainstream media, their journalistic integrity has been compromised. See, that's the issue. It's not that every article is fake or they're feeding you lies per se. They're skewing what's happening out there in the world. They're also concentrating on what they want to concentrate on to push a certain agenda. I talked about this a couple of months ago. Notice how we don't see any more news about black people wrongly being shot by cops. Do you see how that narrative has gone bye-bye? See how the Black Lives Matter thing kind of has gone by the wayside because it didn't work. Right? It didn't get Hillary elected. Then we had the Antifa nonsense. And that was supposed to scare people away from counter-protesting the libtards, intimidate us and make us stop speaking out and make us hide in our homes. When that didn't work, do you notice how the Antifa stuff is slowly calming down? Now, I know it's summer break, so the university stuff has died down. But what you may not know is, and perhaps you do, a lot of these major universities allowing this Antifa crap to go on in their schools have lost a lot of private donations. These universities like Berkeley and so on are going to be in serious, serious financial trouble if they continue to allow the Antifa garbage to continue and this other left-wing crap. So here's what I see happening. I see universities either 100% funded by the government, which Trump should not allow, or we're going to see these universities in such financial trouble, they're going to have to make a decision. Continue this leftist criminal agenda and allow crimes to be committed on their campuses and eventually fold, or they're going to have to crack down on this nonsense and come back to reality. That's what I see happening. But I'm thinking now, I know that I've heard that something is scheduled for Summer of Rage or some nonsense like that. Well, I suggest these libtards take it easy. I suggest they enjoy their summer vacation, look for a nice job, and think about their future. Because they're not really going to have one if they continue the nonsense. So Ivanka Trump said, the economy is booming. Now this was after my show yesterday of how not exactly true. So what did I do? I put up a post about Ivanka Trump saying that the economy is booming. I put up an article. That was my initial post of how 367,000 jobs of full-time jobs were cut. All right? They were cut. And I'm going to get into the analysis in a little bit. That's all I did. I didn't say Trump was a bad president. I didn't say Trump is failing. Nothing. Nothing about Donald Trump. And I got pounded. I'm a snowflake. I'm a liar. I'm a liberal. I've been defriended. Yet nobody showed me actual proof that what I stated was wrong. All I got was one-liners. Nope, a million jobs have been created. Nope, you're lying. The economy is booming. No, it isn't. So then I put up a second post saying 367,000 part-time full-time jobs were lost in May of 2017. Live with it. And then people ask me to prove it. Okay, so I said, yeah, all right, I'll tell you what. I'll give you my references on my show tomorrow morning And here we are. And I'm going to get into it, believe me, because I'm going to finish off with that reference. But I want to set the stage. I've got to set the stage for you, ladies and gentlemen. It seems like you need a little education on what the employment rate is, the real unemployment rate. If you think it's at 4.3%, and if you want to believe the narrative being put out there that the country is almost at full employment, ladies and gentlemen, I suggest you don't believe it. And after listening to my show, I implore you to do your own research. Just do your own. You don't want to listen to me. You don't want to take my word for it. And if you want to challenge me, if you want to try to refute what I'm saying here, please feel free. But don't give me the one-liners. 1 million jobs are created. You're an asshole, Bruno. You're a traitor, Bruno. Don't give me that crap. Give me some real stuff. Because you know what? You're not exactly separating yourselves from the same people that we've criticized for 8 years sucking up to Obama. Okay? It's the same thing. You're doing the same thing. You're just calling me names. You're just criticizing. You're just insulting. But you're not willing to have an intellectual discussion. You're just not, because you don't, you really don't have one. And I understand. I understand you're afraid. You've taken a beating for 8 years under Obama. You get it? Trump is being attacked with this Russian garbage. I get it. I get it that you're banking on the fact that Donald Trump is going to make it all better. And he might. I'm still banking on the fact that he's going to get a lot of his agenda passed over the weeks and months and years. I get it. Again, there was no criticism of Donald Trump. I was just stating the facts that the economy is not exactly booming. So, I want to go to Michael Schneider. He's been on Infowars.com, The Alex Jones Show, many, many times. You can look up his profile. I'm sure it's on Wikipedia. That's Michael Schneider, S-N-Y-D-E-R. He's an independent man. To my knowledge, nobody owns him. He has no ulterior motive but to tell you people the truth. Same thing with Alex Jones. He's independently funded. He's funded by selling, I believe he's up to 1,000 different products, either directly with his label or through other third-party vendors. His stake in the game is giving you people the truth. And, you know, I got criticized for that. Oh, you got this from InfoWars. Can't take him seriously. He talks about alien abductions. And I asked this person, well, how often have you listened to the show? Wouldn't give me a straight answer. Then it gives me some article, I wasn't even interested in it, some remote article about Alex Jones. He doesn't watch, the guy on Facebook didn't watch the show. He's confusing Jones with David Icke, who Alex Jones has consistently criticized and mocked. He doesn't believe in that we're being run by reptilian hybrids. He said that just last week. Just last week, Jones said that. So this crap, I love it. People criticize Alex Jones. I ask, how often do you listen to him or watch him? Can't get an answer. Exactly. So, Michael Snyder says, he wrote this on June 1st. 12 signs the economic slowdown the experts have been warning about is now here. Since the election, there's been this perception among the American public that the economy is improving, but that has not been the case at all. The U.S. GDP growth for the first quarter was just revised up to 1.2%. But that is even lower than the average growth of just 1.33% that we saw over the previous 10 years. Now, before I continue, again, I am not putting down or criticizing or taking away my support of President Donald Trump. He's not even 5 months in. What I'm criticizing is the statement made by Ivanka Trump that the economy is booming, and quite frankly, Alex Jones has been pushing the same narrative. Oh, millions of jobs are being created. Not true. Oh, the stock market is booming. $3 trillion have been invested in it. The Dow Jones is going up. Well, that's very interesting, because the stock market also went up under President Obama, and we, including myself, strongly criticized Barack Obama's economy and said the Dow Jones going up has no impact on the real reflection of the economy. Now, all of a sudden, Trump is president. Oh, that's it. The numbers are real now. The Dow Jones is going up. All is great. And there are clips on YouTube I was tempted to grab, but I didn't. Where Trump was saying, when he was candidate Trump, oh, the unemployment rate is fake. It's not 4-something%. It's much higher. No, the economy is not doing better. But then Sean Spicer said, yeah, the numbers were fake then, but they're real now. Come on. So when the unemployment rate was what? 4.5%? Or something of that nature, when Obama left, that was a fake number. But now that Trump is president, the 4.3 is real. Seriously? How the hell does that happen? It doesn't. And the truth is, the economy is not booming. Are some sectors doing better? Yeah. I talked about that on my show yesterday. The first coal plant has been opened in Pennsylvania, first time in years. And 70 jobs are going to be created out of that. And there have been 400 applicants. So sure. And some sectors will see improvement. But that doesn't mean the economy is booming. So, let's continue with the article. But when you look even deeper into the numbers, a much more alarming picture emerges. Commercial and industrial loan growth is declining. Auto loan defaults are rising. Bankruptcies are absolutely surging. And we are on pace to break the all-time record for most store closings in a single year in the United States by more than 20%. Now, I do want to qualify or quantify this 20%. Some of that 20%, and it could be a good number of this 20%, has to do with we're in the 21st century now, and more people, like myself, are purchasing products online. And even though it's been reported that Amazon is a liberal organization, and you know what, folks? I hate to break this to you, but most of them are. If we were to boycott, and I have several on my list, Target, Pepsi, and Starbucks, just to name a few. But if we were to attempt to boycott every liberal organization, we all better be growing our own food and sewing our own clothes. That's really the reality of it. We really cannot 100% break away from this unless we become like Grizzly Adams. And yeah, I'm dating myself. Go look up what Grizzly Adams was. So, some of this, a lot of this, this retail brick-and-mortar situation, these closures, are due to people moving to online purchasing. So I recognize that. And Michael Snyder should have recognized that too. Matter of fact, Alex Jones did point that out to Mr. Snyder when he was on his show. And Michael talked about all of these retail closings. You got to look at the big picture. It's not all because of economic failure. Again, it's the transitioning to online purchasing. And folks, I've got Amazon Prime. It's a freaking $100 for the year. I get free shipping and most of the stuff. It doesn't, if something costs $5, I got free shipping. And a lot of times, I'll get the product in a day or two. No lie. On top of that, I get streaming movies and video. I get every HBO series ever created. All right? That's even better than Netflix. Because to get HBO material, you have to sign up for the DVD mailing. And screw that. I'm not going to pay $20 a month for Netflix when I can pay $10 a month for Prime, get everything, and pay $10 a month for Netflix for whatever Amazon doesn't cover. So, when you have things like that, and Walmart is getting into the picture, so many outlets are online now that going to a brick-and-mortar shopping mall just really isn't necessary for a lot of people anymore. But nonetheless, there still is a problem. Now, all of these points that I, and as Mr. Snyder, so when you see me talking in the first person, it's Snyder talking, that I've covered before, but today I have 12 new facts to share with you. The following are 12 signs that the economic slowdown that the experts have been warning about is now here. Number one, according to The Challenger, now that must be another independent information outlet. So, the number of job cuts in May was 71% higher than it was in May of 2016. Now, understand this. He's saying job cuts. It doesn't mean job losses. We're not up to that yet. Job cuts mean that people in May lost their jobs. Like I lost my job with IBM this past Friday. And I'm going to be suing them for lost wages. That's another story. Okay? That's what the job cuts mean. People lost their job. Not net loss, cut. They were cut. You're fired. Remember that expression? You're fired. So job cuts in May were 71% higher than it was a year ago. We just witnessed the third worst drop in construction spending in the last 6 years. Now, he has this hyperlinked. So there is a reference. So I will be posting this website, this article on Facebook in a separate post from today's show. Oh, you people are going to just love me at the end of the day. I just can't imagine the shitstorm, and excuse my language, that I'm going to get today after this article. But you can hyperlink all of this stuff that he's talking about. You can find his source, and you can counter reference. Feel free. Number three, U.S. manufacturing PMI fell to an 8-month low in May. Number four, financial stocks have lost all of their gains for the year. And some analysts are saying that this is a terrible sign. And folks, if you don't like it, it's true. When Donald Trump was elected president in November, the stock market did explode. Now, here's what I did, I want to say, 8 months ago. I have some disposable income, and I've had it for years. And I have an account with one of those, you know, do-it-yourself stock brokerage houses. And what I did was, I invested in every single sector that the United States does business in. All of them. Healthcare, finance, construction, IT. You name it, I'm in all of them. And yeah, when Donald Trump was elected, my account exploded. Every sector went up. And I only have one investment in one particular company, and I'll give it to you as a gift. It's Southern Company. Yeah, it's based in California. It's an energy company. It's a traditional one. I think it's an oil electric. It's not one of those green crap. And I got this stock tip 17 years ago when I was still in New York and working in New York. And I've owned it off and on. I had some, you know, I got divorced. I needed money and I reinvested. It's a great company. The stock stays pretty much steady and they've got a great dividend. So if you have some money, that is my only recommendation I would ever give. And the stock ticker is SO. Very simple. So then he gets sworn in. Yes, the stock market went up again. But folks, I look at my account every single day. And it has flatlined over the last several months. It's hovering right around that top gain when Trump was elected. So this is no lie here that stocks have lost all of their gains for the year. So I'm watching it. I'm invested in every sector. I know that that's true. Number five, one new survey has found that 39% of all millionaires plan to avoid investing in the coming month. This is the highest figure that has been since December of 2013. Jobless claims just shot up to a five-week high of 248,000. Number seven, General Motors just reported another sales decline in May, and it is being reported that the company may be preparing for more job cuts at its American factories. And again, every line here, every figure, all these 12 bullet points, if you will, have hyperlinks that you can go to, and I'm going to supply you that later on. Number eight, after an initial bump after Donald Trump's surprise election victory, I was not surprised. I really felt strongly that we the people were going to put it over the top. We were going to beat the voter fraud. We were going to beat the skewed media hype that was going on. No, I had a strong feeling that Trump was going to win. So, U.S. consumer confidence is starting to fall. You see, the euphoria, folks, is wearing off. The newness, the shiny toy, and it's just reality. It's not that I'm being a bad guy here. It's not that I'm going, nah, 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 nah. I'm not. But the shiny Christmas toy has worn off, and now, you know, now the dust is settling, and, well, here we are. This is the position we're in. What are you going to do? Number nine, since Memorial Day, Radio Shack has officially shut down more than 1,000 stores. You don't hear about this in the media, folks. See, and here's why. And a person asked me this in one of the beatings I took from this guy. Well, you know, if the job situation was that bad, the communists and the left will be putting articles about this, you know, one after the other. Not necessarily. See, here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. The establishment is aware that a most likely economic, I don't want to use the word catastrophe, but some people call it a correction. I'm calling it an inevitability. We never recovered from the crash of 2008. A lot of it is because of that communist Muslim Barack Obama. A lot of it, too, is the fact that America is busted out. We're busted out. The government has allowed too much foreign investment in this country. They've allowed too much immigration, legal and illegal. They're such deeply in bed with the large corporations, yeah, like IBM, like GE, Apple, all of these different companies. Folks, these corporations lobby for the big regulations. They want the big taxation. Don't be fooled, okay? Don't be fooled. They want bigger government. Because bigger government and more regulations and more taxes kill the competition. Those regulations and taxes wipe out the independent business owner. Okay? They help the large corporations because they can absorb all of that. You and I, we cannot absorb it. The big corporations lobbied for NAFTA, GATT, TPP, all of it. They created the European Union. They did that, folks, to kill the competition. And they've been successful. All right? So that's the truth about this economic situation. And this is why they're concentrating on this Russian garbage. It is a distraction. The establishment knows there is no case. There was no Russian influence. Donald Trump is squeaky clean. Whether we agree with every business decision he's ever made is irrelevant. And I personally think the man is a modern day Andrew Carnegie. The man's a genius. He's a self-made billionaire. Yes, self-made. His father gave him a $1 million loan that he was obligated to pay back. It was not a gift. And Donald Trump turned that into the empire his children are now running. And I have every confidence that Donald Jr. and Eric are going to do a great job. So, Trump has not ever claimed bankruptcy. What he's done is he claimed through his business, Chapter 11, 5 times out of over, how many thousands of projects? And he did that to avoid further loss for himself that he could have absorbed, but he did that to protect smaller investors that could have been wiped out. And one of the most popular stories is what happened in Atlantic City. Well, New Jersey crapped out. Libtard state crapped out. Trump did the right thing. He claimed bankruptcy on that project, pulled out, and he saved further losses for him and his investment people. So, for me, the man's a genius. He's above reproach. You want to talk about Trump University? His name was on it. So what? And everybody was happy. The emails, I talked about this a long time ago. The emails that came out, oh, I love Trump University. Oh, I learned so much. Blah, blah, blah. And then when it became, popular and to get some money and 15 seconds of fame, bullshitters came out and trashed it. All right? It's a bunch of crap. Donald Trump is a fantastic, fantastic businessman. Now, number 10. Payless has just increased the number of stores that it plans to close to about 800. 11. According to the Los Angeles Times, it has been projected that 25% of all shopping malls in the United States may close within the next 5 years. Now, again, we have to look at the transition into online purchasing. I think it's relevant, right? Right. So, and number 12. Over the past 12 months, the number of homeless people living in Los Angeles County, California, has risen by a staggering 23%. The establishment knows a major economic collapse is on the horizon. They're saving that, folks. They're playing the Russian narrative to keep your eyes off the ball. It's Russia, 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 Comey, Comey, Comey. Meanwhile, we've got these 12 things happening. And like everything else, they did the BLM thing. When that ran its course, they switched to Antifa. When Antifa ran its course, they ramped up. They've been doing the Russian narrative, but they ramped up the Russian narrative. I don't think it's a coincidence that Comey was put off testifying till after school went out for summer, okay? Because you can't have too many big Antifa rallies at the universities when children, right? Children, yeah, children go home for summer. So now you have to ramp up the Russian narrative. And I'm telling you, when this Russian narrative has finally run its course, and it will, and I believe unless some major lying takes place, Trump is going to be cleared of all of this nonsense. And then when that's done, then at the right moment, when they know that these 12 points are going to hit a crescendo, going to hit a climax, and that wave is going to crash to shore, I promise you, they're going to focus on this. And they're going to blame Donald Trump for what's coming down the pike. And I'm not going to blame him. But to push the narrative that the economy is booming is a very, very big mistake. I personally don't recommend it. Okay? I just don't recommend falling for that. I really don't, folks. I think that's a very dangerous, it's a very slippery slope that we're going on. And I don't recommend it. Okay? So let's get into the real unemployment rate. Okay? I think that's very important. And this was the article that springboarded it. Again, coming from Michael Snyder. It was put out by Infowars.com. June 5th. This is last week. The real unemployment number. There are, and you know, this bounces. All the research I've done in the last 48 hours. Some people say 95 million, 98 million. Okay, Snyder is saying 102 million working age Americans don't have a job. Okay, some people are throwing in, well, you know, and I don't believe that this discounts. Well, people have retired. So, to me, they don't qualify as working age. To me, what qualifies for working age, where you could get a full-time job if you're not in school, that barometer is really 18 to 55. Let's really be honest. All right, if you want to push it 18 to 60. So, okay, then you want to throw in people that are in school full-time. Fine. Then you want to throw in stay-at-home mom or dads that want to raise the family, be home full-time. Okay, you throw them off the 102 million as well. Fair. But leave in everybody else that is eligible to work and is not working. Now, before I get into the meat of this article, which prompted the freaking backlash from the Trump flakes, I want to play for you. I'm going to play both of them back to back. They're short. First one is the unemployment rate lying to you? Let's find out.
When you hear that the unemployment rate has gone down, you usually think that the economy is doing better, right? But the numbers don't always tell the full story. This is what's not said. If someone has gotten so frustrated that they've stopped looking for work or just decided that they won't work anymore, they no longer get counted as unemployed. So imagine you had a town with 100 people and 10 of them were unemployed and trying to find jobs. The unemployment rate would be 10%. Make sense? So now imagine if 5 of those people got tired of looking for jobs and decided to move into their parents' basement. The government would now say that the unemployment rate has gone down to 5%. Yippee! Wait, now, that doesn't make sense. The people in the basement are no longer part of the labor force because they've given up. So the labor force participation rate goes down too. Not exactly a reason to celebrate. So while the unemployment rate is important, the labor force participation rate, which, as you can see, tells the real story. Now that makes sense. Remember this the next time you hear a reporter on the news say the unemployment rate is getting better.
To subscribe to our YouTube channel, click here. For more from informationstation.org, click here.
Okay, so that's number one. Taken off of YouTube, and it's an independent outlet. Here's number two. What is the real unemployment rate?
Different indicators tell different stories.
This is mainstream, by the way.
It's important to understand what each specific indicator and number actually implies. For example, you know, the U3 rate is very different from the U6 unemployment rate. For instance, the U3 unemployment rate does not include those who are underemployed, for example, those who may be working part-time for economic reasons but would rather be working full-time. So to give you a sense of the difference in numbers there, in January of 2017, the U6 rate was 9.4%, considerably higher from the U3 rate for the official rate of 4.8%. I think the other thing, too, that the U3 unemployment rate doesn't account for is the labor force participation rate, which has fallen considerably in recent years. You know, it's fallen from about 67% to 63%. And when you multiply that 4% drop off of over 300 million people, closer to 330 million people is what the U.S. population is, according to the latest census estimate, that's a lot of people. And so I do think that there's a case to be made that maybe we are not looking at the right labor market indicators, or we really need to be looking at a labor market dashboard. And that's, I think, something that Janet Yellen has espoused, and I think a number of other economists have espoused. I don't think it is particularly new that there's criticism of just focusing on the U3 rate. Bernie Sanders, for example, also was very critical of only tracking the U3 rate in particular. So I think to get the full story on what's happening in the labor market, I think you need to look at a collection of indicators and not just one particular unemployment rate.
Yeah. So there you go. It's also, and this is what I'm going to be closing the show with, people getting part-time jobs because they can't get full-time jobs. And I think that's where you people that have been bashing me for almost 24 hours is missing the mark. You people are missing the mark. You just hear or read, X amount of jobs were created for the month, and you're adding up, I guess, January, February, March, April, and May, and you're coming up with this million job thing. But it's funny, because the Obama administration did the same thing. Oh, 200,000 jobs were created. Oh, 140,000 jobs were created. Oh, the unemployment rate is dropping. Oh, the Dow Jones is going up. And we all laughed. We laughed. We talked about what kinds of jobs are being created. We talked about who was pumping the stock market, fluffing up the numbers. We were talking about this. We've been talking about it for 8 years. Where did you people go? I mean, honestly, where did you go? Now Trump is president. We've forgotten all of that. Now, all the jobs being created, oh, they're great jobs now. They're all full-time, quality jobs. Everybody's happy. Oh, now the unemployment rate of 4.3% is real, according to Sean Spicer. But when President Obama was president, the 4.6%, 4.5%, whatever, that was fake. And it's funny, because when I was looking for these tracks that I just played, there are a lot of others. And I was watching one from the so-called Real News Network out of Baltimore, which is just another, they're just as left-hearted and ridiculous as the Young Turks. And they had this guy on, all of a sudden, he wants to talk about the real unemployment rate and the real numbers and the U6 and how it's not really at 4.3%. But where was that guy when Obama was president? Yeah, exactly. It's funny. And you people that have bashed me, you're no better than the leftards. You're no better. And it's awesome how easily swayed you people are. Oh, your guy is in office, which he is my guy too. But your guy is in office. Oh, America in 4 months is great again. But the same numbers, the same formulas that are being used to tell us what the employment rate is today, now it's good. 6 months ago, it was full of crap. Amazing. Absolutely. You people are amazing. You're just as sycophantic. You're just as hostile as Antifa. Go check out my wall. Go check out my wall. Michael Bruno. Check it out. Check out the Truth Zone. Check it out. Check out the language and the accusations that I've been subjected to. Just because I called out Ivanka Trump's statement that the economy is booming, and the nastiness coming out of Facebook media is laughable. And believe me, folks, I'm laughing. I used to get very upset and angry when I was attacked by the liberals during the Trump campaign and all of that, and I would actually get emotionally pissed off, where my blood pressure would go up and I'm writing F you back and F you this and your mother, the whole thing. I've gotten to the point, I've trained myself where I laugh. And I laugh that it's coming from you Trump flakes. I laugh. Because we criticized the same verbiage out of the Obama camp that now where you are praising out of the Trump camp. The same things are happening in this economy. Yes, there's a couple of sectors, as I stated, has seen improvement, but these numbers are here. We're still in the same economic situation, but the face has changed. The face has gone from Obama to Trump. But we're still in the same economic situation. And it's not bashing Donald Trump. It's just the truth. And his people cannot go around saying the economy is booming when it's not. So let's go into Michael Snyder's article here. Did you know that the number of working age Americans that do not have a job right now is far higher than it was during moments of the last recession? June 2009, 92.6 million working age Americans did not have a job. But we found out in May that the number of working age Americans without a job increased to just a shade under 102 million. And just like the previous Michael Snyder article, he has this hyperlinked that we can go to his source. So, unemployment rate at just 4.3%, we're essentially at full employment. Who really believes that? Okay? Who honestly believes that this country is at full employment? Come on. Of course, it's a load of nonsense. John Williams of Shadow Stats, and I referenced them too yesterday, ShadowStats.com tracks what our economic numbers would look like if the honest numbers were being used, and we'd be at 22%. That's 1.1 people per five. And I've talked about that for the last 8 freaking years. And you people had no problems with what I said then, but you got problems now. Well, here's the thing, folks. I've got two articles from Zero Hedge, and then I've got one article from CNBC. And folks, quite frankly, you ain't gonna like it. You're just not gonna like it. And Zero Hedge is telling us that full-time jobs tumble by 367,000, the biggest drop in 3 years. While on the surface, the payrolls report the wage growth and the unemployment rate, which dropped for all the wrong reasons, were disappointing, a quick look inside the underlying data reveals even more troubling trends, such as that in addition to the number of employed workers dropping by 233,000, according to the household survey, the composition of these jobs raised even more red flags. The composition, meaning the types of jobs, raised even more red flags because in May, the U.S. lost 367,000 full-time jobs, offset by the gain of 133,000 part-time jobs. Now, we have to set the stage here, folks. We were first told by ADP that over 253,000 jobs were created in the month of May. Everybody got happy, and the stock market went up. The Department of Labor then corrected that figure and gave us 138,000 jobs were gained. This article is telling you that 133,000 part-time jobs were gained in May. So, there was a net gain of 133,000 part-time jobs. We subtract the 138,000 total net gain from the 133,000 part-time net gain, and what do you get? You get a net gain of 5,000 full-time jobs, folks. All right? That's what you get. Break it down into 50 states. That's a mean and average of only 100 full-time jobs gained in the entire month of May in the per state in the entire country. Now, you think about how many Americans became eligible to work full-time in the United States in the month of May. You think about that. And then you ask yourselves, is a net gain of 100 full-time jobs per state an indicator of an economic boom? Ask yourselves that. So, continuing with the Zero Hedge article, the change in total payrolls for March was revised down from 79,000 gain to a plus 50,000. And the change for April was revised down for 211,000 gain to 174,000 gain. With these revisions, employment gains in March and April combined were 66,000 less than previously reported. This means that over the past 3 months, job gains have averaged 121,000 per month, a far cry from the 181,000 average jobs added over the past 12 months. To be sure, as South Bay Research points out, a big reason for the unexpected miss was the sharp seasonal adjustment factor, and they misspelled factor, that editor should be fired, which was the biggest going back to the financial crisis days. Now, not helping the Trump agenda, and again, I can't, excuse me, I can't state this enough. I am not jumping ship. Okay? So, manufacturing jobs declined sharply, posting the weakest growth of 2017. And I didn't even get into the carrier situation. I'll save that for maybe later on today on Facebook. Looking at the household survey revealed an even uglier picture as the number of employed workers declined by 233,000 to 152,000, the lowest since March. Even worse for wage watchers, while the average hourly earnings rose by 0.2% monthly, the annual increase also missed printing at 0.2%, with April revised from 0.3 to 0.2, while the annual increase was 2.5%, also missing the expectations of a 2.5% print. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's something. Let me finish it. This was the lowest annual increase in average hourly earnings since March of 2016. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's something that no one talked about. How much do you think the cost of living might have gone up in the last 6 months? Have you looked at your food bills? Have you gone out to dinner lately? Have you ordered pizza or Chinese food? How about right here in Texas, when real estate taxes have gone up, and they've gone up pretty sharply? How about that? Has anybody considered that at all? Probably not. Not even these articles. Not even these articles account for the cost of living. None of them. Well, I've gone drastically over. I'm gonna save the other zero hedge. I'm gonna finish up with CNBC. See, I've provided you with independent media sources, which, when you don't like the narrative, they're fake news. So, I'm going to provide you with some mainstream media sources. And because you're not going to like the narrative, that's fake news too. So, on one hand, I've been accused of providing fake news when I use independent media, and then when I use mainstream media outlets, it's fake news again. So I'm going to ask you the question. Am I providing you with fake news, or is it you just don't like what I'm telling you? I think it's the latter, not the former. So, this comes from Jeff Cox at jeffcoxcnbc.com, June the 2nd. Job creation fell sharply in May, with just 138,000 new positions created, while the unemployment rate declined to 4.3%, according to Labor Department data. Now, I just have to throw this little tidbit in, because the underemployment rate, none of these articles touched on. Here's something that the Department of Labor and everybody doesn't tell you. When you get these glowing job reports that 138,000 jobs were created, 1 million jobs have been created since Trump took office, and the unemployment rate is dropping to nearly the country is fully employed. Here's something the Department of Labor doesn't tell you. My name, let's say, is John Smith, and I've been working at law firm A, making $100,000 a year. Due to losses of revenue, I've been let go. So I'm no longer making $100,000, right? I apply for unemployment. I get unemployment, and I'm seeking work. I'm part of the unemployed. I'm searching. Can't find a job comparable to the pay I was making. So I wait it out. I then file for an extension. Let's say I get the extension. I'm still considered unemployed. I've exhausted all of my extensions. I'm no longer receiving unemployed. I still have not found a $100,000 job. The Department of Labor does not consider me unemployed anymore because I'm no longer receiving benefits. Therefore, I don't have to report to them that I'm seeking work. Now, I've exhausted my savings account. I still got to pay my mortgage. Still got my Mercedes payment. So, I have to swallow my pride, and I have to take a job for $60,000. The Department of Labor considers that plus one in the job creation for whatever month that I got this job. The $60,000 a year job pays most of my bills, but not all of them. I now have to seek a part-time job. I get a part-time job for $20,000. The Department of Labor considers my full-time job and my part-time job two distinct and separate jobs created, but I'm one person. And I'm not making the $100,000, I'm making the $80,000. Technically, I am underemployed. And we haven't even discussed that. So, here's CNNBC. So again, the job creation fell sharply in May, just $138,000. Now that's the net gain. As I reported to you, part-time jobs net gained $133,000. Being reasonable and not a financial expert, that tells me then full-time jobs netted $5,000 gain. Okay? Economists surveyed by Reuters expected non-farm payrolls to grow by 185,000 and the unemployment rate to hold steady at 4.4. Now, again, when ADP came out with that article and I posted it, talked about it, they said over 250,000 jobs were created. Everybody went bananas. Stocks went up. The birds were singing. The sun was shining. Lovely. Then the Department of Labor corrected it to 138. So, wage growth also was disappointing. Now, yes, I am repeating myself again. 2.5 annualized pace, which I explained to you what that meant in detail with the other article, and then I threw in, well, what has happened with the with the cost of living? Nobody even discussed that. So, and the average work week was unchanged at 34.4. See, in some circles, folks, that's not full time. Excuse me. 34.4. Now, at minimum, 35 is, because we're used to the 40-hour work week model. When you go to work 9 to 5. Now, in the old days, which for me was the early 2000s, I was paid an annual salary on a 40-hour work week scale, but I got an hour lunch paid for in the package. So I really was at my post, if you will, at my cubicle for 35 hours a week. Now because the big corporations like IBM, GE, Apple, and whatnot, because they got us by the nuts, they now don't pay us for our break. They actually get all of the 40 hours out of us. Either we have to report to work and leave 8 to 5, which is 45 hours a week, minus the hour lunch every day, so minus 5, and they get the full 40 hours. Or they give you a half hour break, and you have to report at 8 or 9 a.m., doesn't matter, and you leave at the halfway part of the hour, 8 to 4:30, 9 to 5:30. In my case, it was 11 to 7:30. So you're at the office, or in my case, I worked from home, but I'm at my station. I'm obligated to be at my station 8.5 hours a day. That's 42.5 total hours minus the half hour break. And quite frankly, what the hell and where can you go in 30 freaking minutes? I couldn't even go to McDonald's and go through the drive-thru and make it back to my house in 30 freaking minutes. Where could I go? It's the same thing that if I was off-site, get to the cafeteria, get online, get food, eat, can't even take a shit, excuse my verbiage, and run back to my hole, okay? That's the reality. That's the truth zone, baby. So now companies get the full 40 freaking hours. But in the old days, your lunch was paid for. You got 60 minutes. So your raw working time was 35 hours. So that was the measuring stick of being full-time. In some circles, they've lowered that to 32 hours a week, and you're considered full-time. In essence, corporate America can steal 8 hours from you. They're already stealing your lunch hour or your lunch half hour, and you probably haven't even thought about it, have you? Probably not. Because we've now been conditioned. Oh, that's what we accept. That's what we accept. We accept contracting jobs where you don't get benefits anymore. Benefits is communism. You don't get a retirement plan. Paid retirement plan is communism. It's entitlements. It's handouts. We've gotten used to no paid vacations anymore. That's paid vacation? That's commie talk. Really? I call that corporate fleecing. I call that being ripped off. I call that large corporations exploiting we the American people for optimum gain on their part and minimal gain on our part. That's not communism, folks. That's the truth. And it is not communist to say that companies like IBM, GE, Apple, General Motors, Ford, etc., 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 wouldn't be in existence if it wasn't for we, the people, working. That's not being a communist or a pinko or a snowflake. It's the truth. Having our jobs shipped to India, where those people are further exploited by the companies that I've mentioned, and then some, because those countries treat their people like dirt, and they have practically no labor laws. Protecting the workers and the citizens of a particular country is not communist. It's the right thing to do. Communism is when the state dictates and owns parts or all of a given industry. And I hate to break the news to you folks, but America has been communist for a very long time. It's just called crony capitalism, folks. And when the American Health Care Act was put on the table, and I'm glad it wasn't passed, it was still quasi-communism because the federal government was dictating the terms of an industry. And those terms, folks, were not in our favor. All the federal government is supposed to do is protect the American people from foreign and domestic invasion and protect us against consumer fraud. Government is supposed to be the checks and the balances from private corporations totally exploiting their workers. That's it. Done. But the government has so much overreached, and excuse me, but that health care bill that Donald Trump was pushing and criticizing the Freedom Caucus of all things to criticize was just more crony capitalism and communism. And sorry, but that's the truth. And you're just going to have to deal with it. This report is clearly soft in every material respect relative to expectations and relative to last month, which would be April. That's a disappointment, said Eric Winograd, U.S. economist at AllianceBernstein. However, he added, I don't think it's soft enough to cause a fundamental rethink of the economic outlook. And that's fine. And that's fine. I'm not saying to hide under the table, and I'm not saying to dump Trump. Not at all. In addition to the weak May numbers, previous months also saw significant downward revisions. March is weak, 79,000, again, repeat, went from 79 to 50. April declined to 174 from 211. So, scrolling down. So, again, here we go. So, professional and business services led the way with 38,000 new positions, with healthcare added 24,000, mining grew by 7,000. Right, and that's great. That's great. With the new coal plant in Pennsylvania coming up, that's a good trend. Bars and restaurants added 38,000. Retail lost 6,100. And the government dropped by 9,000, which is very good. Federal and government jobs, period, have to drop drastically. But at the same time, though, you really got to strengthen the private sector, and we're not there yet. You can't just pull the trap door, folks. You can't just do it. So, job creation skewed toward lower wage professions. Exactly. This is the home run, folks. This is the same thing that happened under Obama that we pointed out and criticized, and it's the same thing that I pointed out that's happening under the Trump administration that you people, you Trump flakes, are bashing me. Full-time jobs tumbled 367,000 for the month, while part-time positions rose by 133,000. The unemployment rate decline was due primarily to a fall in the labor force participation rate, which declined 0.2 to 62.7% and remained mired around its lowest levels since the late 70s when Jimmy Carter was president. The rate, though, is at its lowest level since May of 2001 when we had the dot-com bubble burst. An alternative measure of joblessness that takes into account discouraged workers and the underemployed fell to 8.4%, its lowest reading since November of 2007. The level of Americans counted as not in the labor force swelled to just below 95. And again, there are different barometers. Snyder said 102. CNBC says 95. And you have to remember, this 8.4% underemployment, they're using the not-so-genuine statistics that I gave you that illustration of John Smith and the $100,000 job he used to have, okay? So, it's much higher than that, but there it is. The May report, I'm going to close with this because we're over an hour and a half. The May report was a disappointment. Taken with the downward revisions, it suggests a continuation of the combination of slow GDP growth and weak productivity growth, emphasizing the need for structural reforms in tax, regulatory, and entitlement policies, said Douglas Holtz Eakin, president of the American Action Forum. And he's right. And that's what Trump promised, and I expect him to do. And I think he's going to try his best. I know that the entire establishment is against him. You cannot say that we are in an economic boom. It is inaccurate. It is not the truth. My name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central.